You can have your Bibles open to Mark chapter 7 for a little later. That's page 1010. This week I went to a meeting. Actually, I went to a number of meetings, but the first meeting I went to, normally they offer black tea. But what I really wanted that night was coffee. So I made some for everyone before the meeting and sat down and enjoyed coffee during the meeting. And everything was great. At least, at first, everything was great. I got home that night and I just wasn't tired, so I stayed up and read for a little bit. Tried to lay down about midnight, and I lay there, and I lay there. It wasn't happening. I got up and I read, and probably about 2:30 in the morning, I think I finally went to sleep. Now, here's the stupid part. I know coffee does this to me. This isn't the first time I've had caffeine at night. It's happened many times before. Now, many of you are probably not as silly as I am with caffeine. But how many things in life are we slow to learn from? How many lessons do we need to keep learning over and over and over again? Now, the book of Mark, let's be clear, the book of Mark is a biography about Jesus himself. The disciples have been following Jesus around for at least a year now. They have seen Jesus demonstrate that he is the Son of God. At this point in the story, Jesus has shown incredible power and incredible authority. He's shown them miracle after miracle. He's shown them that he has the power over evil spirits and can cast out demons. He has shown them that he has the power to forgive sins, and he's made the religious leaders furious. Jesus has shown that he even has the power over death and has raised a little girl from dead. Jesus has shown without a doubt that he is the Son of God. But the disciples still don't understand this. These are guys who have been faithfully following their rabbi around. The ones who have seen the miracles are the ones who are blind. The ones who should see most clearly are the last to catch on. Now, before we judge them, let's try to apply their situation to us. Now, remember me and the coffee this week. Remember how I said I regularly fail to understand simple things? How I have to keep making the same mistakes over and over again? I think this may be exactly what is happening with the disciples. Jesus has been training them. He has been showing them again, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah. But the disciples still have trouble seeing it. So the application I'll give you ahead of time. How might we be like the disciples? Are there ways in which we act like the disciples act, but in our Christianity? If we look carefully at ourselves, can we see similarities between ourselves and these disciples? So the main thing is, we are more blind than we think. Unbelief and lack of faith is a tendency all humanity shares. With God, there's always more to learn. There's always more to understand. So now Mimi is going to come up and read our first Bible passage.
Okay, I'm starting from chapter 7 of Mark, verse 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, A woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephatha," which means, "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have had nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present, and having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha.
Now let me say that I think this story has more to do with the faith of those around Jesus than it actually does about Jesus himself. It deals with the concept of faith and lack of faith. Now, this first story we have about this Greek woman, perhaps it is actually a deliberate contrast. It is a contrast on the one hand between the disciples, the ones who have been following Jesus around for over a year, and on the other hand, this Greek woman. Now keep in mind, again, the disciples have seen these miracles. They've heard his teachings. They've heard his parables. Yet the story says nothing about the faith of the disciples. On the other hand, there's this Greek woman, someone who lives far, far away from Jerusalem, someone who's probably never met or seen Jesus. As far as we know, she's never seen a miracle in her life. Yet she seeks out Jesus, who is hiding in secret, and begs him, "Heal my son." And then on top of that, Jesus says something which would have offended many people. Look at verse 28 with me. She says, "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply you may go, the demon has left your daughter." Her response shows amazing faith, amazing persistence in the face of a comment which would have offended many people. And Mark records nothing of the disciples' faith. There is no mention that they have faith like the Greek woman. Sometimes it's the least likely people who have the eyes to see Jesus. Sometimes the greatest faith comes from people who, by the standards of the world, by the standards of perhaps me and you, are weak or small or stupid or on the outside. Take the next story. The next story we have about the deaf man. A man who has never heard anything because of his disability. And then Jesus heals the man, and the disciples are overwhelmed with excitement and faith. The disciples are so amazed. No, that didn't happen, did it? It doesn't say anything about the disciples getting excited. Look at verse 36 with me. Jesus commanded them being the townspeople, not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. It is the townspeople, these local people, who are the ones who have the faith. They're the ones who go around telling people. And again, what does Mark say about the disciples? Nothing, absolutely nothing. The disciples are the one taking Jesus for granted. They're the ones who don't appreciate what he's doing in front of their faces. Then the third story, the feeding of the 4,000. Quite an amazing miracle, don't you think? Keep in mind, this is the second time in the book of Mark that Jesus has fed an enormous amount of people. And the disciples were there the first time too. So they've already witnessed this kind of thing. Take a look with me in chapter 8 at verse 2. Jesus says, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get bread to feed them? Now, I don't know about you, but you get a little frustrated with the disciples at this point in the story. The disciples, who know their Old Testament, they would have known of this coming Messiah, this Messiah who is going to give food and bread in abundance to his people. This Messiah, this Son of God, who Isaiah talked about many times. And Jesus is showing by his words and actions again and again, look, I'm the one Isaiah is talking about. I am the one that the prophets have foretold. And because of this, because I think the disciples knew their Old Testament, I don't think it's a lack of memory. The disciples didn't lack Bible knowledge. Rather, they lacked faith. They were seeing the Son of God with their eyes, but they did not really see him. Now, Mimi's going to come up and read the second part of our passage, and that's going to start at verse 11.
Okay, Mark chapter 8, verse 11. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it. Then he left them and got back into the boat and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?"
Do you notice anything similar between the Pharisees at this point and the disciples? The Pharisees, religious leaders, people who are supposed to know their stuff, people who have supposedly committed their lives to God. The Pharisees, like the disciples, have been in the presence of Jesus when he's been performing these miracles. And the Pharisees have heard many of the teachings of Jesus. Yet they do not come to him in faith. Rather, they come to him to test him. They come to him with skeptical hearts. It's as if they come to him and essentially say, "We don't trust you, Jesus. We don't see you as our Lord. Yeah, some people might think you're special. You might have performed maybe a miracle. We're not sure. But we don't have faith in you. We don't think you're from God. Therefore, we want you to prove yourself just one more time, and then maybe we'll believe. So let's see what you can do, Jesus." But Jesus refuses. He doesn't play their game. Even if Jesus had performed another miracle, they would not have believed. He'd already given them evidence. Their hearts were not willing to see. Then finally, we have the story about the disciples on the boat. Look at verse 17 with me. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes to see? Have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear?" These guys have seen these two miracles about bread being multiplied. And what are the disciples worried about? They're worried about if they're going to get lunch or not. Do they still not understand? You can feel the frustration that Jesus must have at this point. They're standing around on the boat, scratching their heads. In America, we would say, these guys are totally clueless. So what does Jesus mean by yeast when he says, "Beware the yeast of the Pharisees"? Yeast being, in German, Hefe. I know that because of Hefeweizen. Well, so anyone who bakes bread, which I don't, if you make bread from scratch, you will know that a very small amount of yeast will make the bread rise and fluffy. Just a small amount of yeast will influence the bread in a major way. And that's why yeast can symbolically mean influence. Same thing with red wine. Just a drop of red wine on your white shirt can influence that white shirt in a major way, and in a bad way. So how were the Pharisees behaving? They weren't looking to Jesus in faith. Now think of the disciples. How were they behaving? Well, they were showing a lack of faith too. Jesus might be saying to the disciples, "Watch out that you don't end up like these religious people, Watch out that you don't end up like the Pharisees and Herod. Don't be so skeptical of me. Don't be so arrogant in terms of me that you forget about me and you miss what is right in front of your face. Now, again, it's easy for us to take our finger and point it at the disciples and say, look at these stupid guys. But instead, why don't we ask what we can learn from the disciples? Why don't we walk a mile in their shoes? So we can take off our modern shoes and maybe put on the sandals they might have been wearing. If we look from the disciples' perspective, we have to think about this. That there is a pattern that comes with the disciples, it comes with the Pharisees, and it comes with us too. All people are slow to understand spiritual things. All humanity shares this common disease of spiritual blindness. And when I say all, I mean all of us in this room here too. Maybe even me, and maybe even you. We all have eyes, but fail to see. We all have ears, and fail to hear. And the reason I'm sure of this is because I'm sure about it in myself. Me, who's been a Christian for many years. Me, who is standing in front of you, preaching on a Sunday morning. I am slow to understand spiritual lessons. I'm quick to forget the lessons which God is trying to teach me. I am like those silly disciples. I miss much of what God tries to teach me. I don't stop and try to ask, what is God doing in my life through this situation? I rarely stop to think, maybe I am still just a little bit blind in some ways. I don't wake up every morning with a heart ready to learn. I mean, most mornings, I'm too busy to have a heart ready for anything. Now, most of our reactions is, yeah, maybe we agree, but, you know, other people have this problem worse than I do. You know, those people in my home group, you know, maybe that person I talked to last week, or, oh, maybe my wife, Ruth, yeah. But what about me? Doesn't it sound arrogant always to say, well, yeah, I'm a little blind, I'm a little slow to learn, but most of those other people, those people that don't read their Bibles as much as me, those people that are newer Christians, those people that go to the church across the park. But that is exactly the way most Christians think and act. We always assume that it's the other person who's blind. We always assume, oh, those silly disciples are so blind. If I was there in front of Jesus, I would have done better. I would have been on that boat, and I would have been like, oh, I know exactly what you mean, Jesus. Yet the disciples who were with Jesus didn't see. They didn't hear. They shared this universal problem that we are more blind than we think, that we all have this tendency, that every day there are chances for us to learn and grow. But God has to keep sending those lessons again and again. Now, the key issue in all this is our faith in Jesus. And it's sometimes, again, the most unlikely people who understand this. Like that Greek woman. She showed amazing faith, having never seen Jesus. Or what about those townspeople? We don't even know those townspeople's names. But they seem to have told the whole town about Jesus. We never know who's going to have spiritual eyesight. We can never assume that we have the answers. Now, as I conclude, let me just give you two very quick suggestions that we can apply. The first, each morning, if there are ways we are blind, we have to ask, well, what can we do about that? The simple way is through prayer. We can ask the Lord every morning to open our eyes spiritually. We can ask the Lord for humility. We can pray for understanding. We can pray, Lord, open my heart today. Help me see you throughout the day. Help me know your teachings. Or in the evenings, if it's assumed that there might be things that we have either forgotten during the day or lessons we haven't learned, what can we do about this? Well, we can take just a few minutes in the evening and stop what we're doing. Stop making food. Stop listening to the TV. Stop talking and just sit and think to ourselves, God, how were you present today? We can ask Jesus, what did you want me to learn? We can ask, Lord, how am I like those disciples? How have I been blind? What do you have to teach me? With Jesus, there is always more to understand. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for being so patient with us. Thank you for revealing yourself in Jesus. Thank you for repeating your lessons to us. Thank you that you are able to change our hearts. Lord God, we pray you would open our eyes this morning. We pray you'd make our minds humble so we can admit our blindness. Help each one of us with the faith that we struggle with. Give us eyes to see. And we pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord of all, Jesus Christ. Amen.